Central bankers want to prevent another financial meltdown.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world, and how it affects us here in the United States. Financial leaders from all around the world have agreed to major reforms they say will help head off any future crises. Banks will be told to triple the amount of spare cash, what's called capital reserves, they hold on their books. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London with the latest. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So how does this affect the United States?
Well, it's reckoned that 7 out of the top 24 banks in the U.S. will fall short of these new rules, among them Citigroup and Bank of America. Complying with the rules will probably mean that they will, in the short term at least, have to lend less money. And that does raise the faint spectre of a credit crunch. Here's Justin Urquhart-Stewart of fund manager 7 Investment.
Well, any constriction on capital at this moment will have an impact. It's the sort of thing that the American economy probably doesn't need at this moment. But on the other hand, it does need to make sure it has a functional banking system.
And it's worth noting that the new rules will be phased in over a period of up to 8 years. So it's not a sudden jolt to the system that's likely to tip the US back into recession. Germany, by the way, will be more affected. Its 10 biggest banks would fall foul of the rules. So they'll have to lend less or raise more capital.
And how enforceable are these rules, Stephen?
Well, banks that fail to comply could be forced to withhold their dividends, so their shareholders won't be happy about that. And their most highly paid employees might have to forego their bonuses, so pretty effective medicine. This reform, by the way, is not actually a done deal. It has to be ratified by a summit of G20 governments in November.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard reporting from London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
All right. The reaction among investors seems to be pretty good so far. Bank stocks right now lifting European markets. Doesn't hurt that the European Commission today upped its forecast on growth over there in the continent. Asian shares rose today with news of robust Chinese industrial production. Wall Street Friday, investors continued the buying spree. The Dow was up 47 points, about 0.5%, to end the day at 10,462. For the week, markets had slight gains. The Dow added about 0.1%. When Greece began slashing its budget and raising taxes to cover its deficit, the country's workers went on strike and they rioted. It's not the sort of thing you'd expect to see in London, but as the UK grapples with budget cuts unions don't like, they're calling for widespread protests. The BBC's Rebecca Singer reports.
The British government plans to cut $240 billion from its budget, but unions and workers don't think now's the right time to be doing it, and they want to call a national strike in protest. 30 years ago, dead bodies piled up in warehouses and rubbish lay uncollected on the streets when everyone from gravediggers to trash collectors went on strike to protest about pay freezes. Brendan Barber is the General Secretary of the TUC, which represents more than 6 million trade union members from all industries.
It's going to hit hardest the weakest and the most vulnerable in our society. We know those are going to be the consequences. Whatever the details, the scale of the cuts that are going to be made is going to do huge damage.
The unions are calling for joint industrial action like in the 1970s, but government officials insist these cuts have to be made and blame their predecessors for leaving the country in such a mess. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 1 million tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves. By Constant Contact Event Marketing, working to help small businesses and nonprofits make their events easier with event registration and marketing tools. ConstantContact.com. And by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com.
It's Fashion Week in New York City. Later today, Donna Karan and Perry Ellis will introduce new collections, and eco-friendly designers will kick off their own fashion show. So we asked Marketplace's sustainability reporter Adrian Hill to talk a little bit about fashion that's better for the environment. Good morning, Adrian.
Good morning.
So help me out here. What is sustainable fashion?
Well, it's a lot of things depending on who's defining it. Everything from clothes made from organic cotton and natural dyes to clothes made from fair trade fabric and the ultimate in environmental friendliness, vintage or hand-me-downs. Some of it's really good for the environment and the people who make the clothes, and a lot of it's just greenwashing.
And what's the market for this type of clothing?
Well, more and more products and fashion lines calling themselves eco-friendly and sustainable are putting products out there. So designers and producers seem to think the interest is there. Companies are lining up big name stars like Emma Watson to help push the lines. But the real question is whether or not people are going to buy them.
And will they?
That's tough to say. Yeah. I talked to an analyst who told me that consumers are interested in eco-friendly and socially responsible clothing, but they really don't want to pay much of a premium for them. And that'll be tough, considering how cheap the clothes we buy at Target and H&M are. It can be more expensive to make eco-socially friendly garments if you're paying people a fair trade wage or using cotton that costs more to grow. And in other cases, retailers might just be jacking up the prices because they think they can get away with it. I did find a study that said retail sales of clothing and home products made from organic cotton was up to over $4 billion last year, which is a 35% jump from the year prior.
You know, Adrian, I don't want to sound totally like a jerk here, but are any of these clothes, I mean, actually good looking? Do they look like, you know, I don't know. I think of like burlap or something like that, that there's got to be some sort of eco-fashion look.
With tree bark from all that tree hugging. Like,
yeah, exactly.
On it. Yeah. No, some of them I think are pretty fashionable. It's not just T-shirts and jeans or burlap that you... But the stereotype is a hurdle for the industry. But I'll let you judge for yourself. I put up a slideshow on our website, marketplace.org.
All right, we'll go there and check it out. Marketplace's Adrian Hill joining us here in the studio. Adrian, thanks.
Thank you.
And finally, for so long, the pub has been a place to forget the ills of the world. In Berlin, Germany, though, one bar is tackling at least one problem head on. Most of the patrons are unemployed and collect government benefits. So every Friday afternoon between 2 and 5, social workers set up inside the bar, give advice on how to get a job. We commend the bar owners for their moxie. A lot of pubs help people fall down. This one actually gets people back on their feet. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.